This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringutan is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, happy Tuesday. How's everybody doing today?
It's a great day.
All right. Yeah, it is. It is a great day. Jeff Rust is back from, I think this is where we got a lead story of the day here in Portland, is not the Blazers and K2. It's not the Portland Diamond Project closing in on land. It's not the Oregon Ducks offensive line sustaining another injury. No, it is Jeff Rust, 48 years old.
Yeah.
Sushi for the first time in your life.
Yeah.
That's a choice. In the bubble
body
guts.
The body isn't prepared for that.
The bubble guts ensued.
Yeah, my body is not prepared for that. And we didn't have nothing. It was all cooked. There was nothing raw.
All right.
And it was all delightful. I loved it until later on.
All right.
Into the evening. But yeah.
Okay. What did you have? Do you remember what you had?
One of them, I think, was like an Oregon roll.
An Oregon roll? I was going to say California roll if...
Let me pull up the joint here. I don't want to say it and throw them under the bus, but...
Yeah, well, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that.
Let's see here. I think there was an Oregon roll. One of them had like tempura scallops in it.
Okay, yeah.
And there was another one with smoked salmon on top, and what was it? Anyway, but yeah. Oh, wait, here's a two-roll combo.
There you go.
There we go.
There he is. There he is. Okay.
But yeah.
So... It was not raw fish.
No.
It was just shock to your system. We talked about this yesterday. You often say...
It wasn't macaroni and cheese.
You have the palate of a third grader.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you went from third grade to culinary school.
Right.
A flash.
Yeah. But we had pot stickers and like some teriyaki chicken and two. And some spicy pork noodles and...
And it just turned you upside down. Do you think it was the fact that it's not part of your regular diet, or do you think maybe you got the food poisoning?
I don't think it was that because...
Did your wife get sick?
She's starting to not feel great today.
Okay.
But 24 hours later seems
odd. You maybe had a flu bug or something.
Yeah. So, and plus, we'll just say it was only... I don't think it was food poisoning because it was one-way traffic.
Okay. That way. Well, there you go.
There were no difficult decisions to be made.
Yeah, I'm thinking that this may be. I'm thinking that this might have been a situation where
worlds are colliding.
Your inside said, "Not so fast, my friend. I don't know this food."
Which is unfortunate because, like I said, it was all good.
It was good.
It was all really good.
You know what you need to do? You need to go back. You need to get back on the horse.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go ride again.
Yeah,
I remember I got bucked off a horse when I was a kid, and. Totally my dad's fault. Slapped the horse on the butt. It bucked me off. And it was, I think, I'm not going to lie here. I think I got my bell rung there.
It'll happen.
I mean, I remember going up. I don't remember getting back up. I don't remember getting back on the horse, but I was told I got back on that horse again right afterwards. You can't be afraid of it.
No.
You can't be, you got to get back up on that horse again. You need to ride, buddy. You need to get back on that sushi train.
I know, I'm willing to go give it another shot.
Y'all remind me of...
I think you should need to try the raw.
No, I'm good.
Ooh. A little sashimi?
That's reason number one why I made it until the age of 48 without ever doing sushi. Because I don't want to eat. I like my food cooked.
I think you need to go. You need to go all in here. Mm. You need to go pufferfish, yeah, right? Where something you yeah. can die.
Yeah. Go to Japan. Like,
you're gonna die, or bubble guts, or you're gonna love it, yeah. and everything's gonna be great.
I did the pufferfish when I was in Japan. It's
and he didn't die.
It's okay.
Yeah. Like, he didn't die.
It's like I've done a couple of the delicacies. I've had like some like a little bump of the dumb expensive caviar. I don't get it. It's not for me.
No, that doesn't sound like it's good at all.
No, it's pungent.
Have we gotten beyond like caviar being high society now?
No, it's like coming back.
It's coming back.
Yeah, caviar. Like if you see like the big time food influencers, like what's it, Notorious Foodie? Like he features it a ton.
So stupid. Yeah. Influencers of all kinds are just dumb.
Yeah, the caviar is making a comeback.
Yeah,
it's the beluga caviar, I think is what it is.
Beluga.
I remember I tried it once. Yeah, I felt like Tom Hanks in Big. I wanted to scrape my tongue and, can I get a milkshake or something?
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Here's something crazy.
Back to how we started this. Your third grade palate.
Exactly. So beluga is the most expensive on average, and it ranges from anywhere from $7,000 to $10,000 a pound. There is one that is like a very specific. It's the most expensive caviar in the world. It's the Almas, and it costs, it's in a 24-karat gold tin that's worth $1,300, and it's $34,000 a kilo.
Yeah.
Why?
No.
Why?
I think I'm good.
And it doesn't taste great.
No.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like, the stuff that I had was like, this may like be a very, very like specific thing. Have you ever seen a can of chew in Canada?
Can't say that I have.
Okay, so I have. States in North Dakota, I ran out of chew once, and I was like, oh, I'll go to the gas station. Number one, their tobacco taxes, and this is in 2005, wild.
Mm.
It was like $13 for a can. The can is half the size.
Oh, all
like,
right.
If you take like the depth of your U.S. can, it's cut in half.
All right.
And I was like, what the hell is this? So I had like a can of caviar that was
they
like
that. They just pack it better in Canada.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But
more
I had,
efficient.
Yeah. I had caviar that was like that, and it had the little key to open it. Oh, yeah. It was very fancy.
All right.
But that little thing.
Well, that's why it's $13.
Well, I mean, not my chew, the caviar. But the caviar, I want to say it was like $1,300 for this little teeny tiny can.
No.
And I was like,
stupid.
What the hell?
And
it was
stupid.
I was up in Canada doing an event, and they had like the waiters were bringing it out and like, here's the fresh caviar. And I'm like, how's it? You're opening it out of a can.
Yeah, it's canned. It's not fresh.
I'm like, what?
It's freshly opened.
Yeah. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? But yeah, they're like, would you care to try? And I was like, sure, why not?
And it didn't
wasn't my thing. I've done we brought it with yesterday. It was the frog legs was the most, you know, that Will had ever tried. Like, I've done the escargot. I've done the crickets.
Crickets, you can get those at a baseball game.
Yeah,
now,
like they're yeah, know? Like that. Yeah, but I mean, like, any of the seafood stuff, that's just not my jam. Like, don't get me wrong, I love sushi. Yeah. Love me some sushi, but outside of that, like we talked about that, like Mediterranean food. Like the octopus, the calamari, like that's just.
No.
I will say the shark fin soup though is good.
No, I'm out.
That's good. But also, I think they've cut way back on that because they basically like take the shark, cut off their fin, toss it back in the water, kind of a deal. So
can't use any other parts.
I mean,
of the shark.
You can, but like they were just not.
Yeah.
I will say this: the Japanese do not care about the Greenpeace folks.
Oh goodness, no.
Oh, they do, like when it comes to their sharks and their dolphins and their whales, they do not care.
No, they don't care at all.
No. So there's that.
Hmm.
Shout out to them though.
All right.
Like it's, you know, it's your thing.
Yeah. Out there, I mean, this texture is asking how do they get the beluga caviar? Belugas are whales, so they don't lay eggs. So it's just a brand, I'm assuming. Right? Right?
Interestingly, what's going on here?
Belugas are whales, though.
Yeah.
Beluga sturgeon.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. Beluga sturgeon there.
So they lay a crap ton of eggs.
Yeah. So we're not talking the whale here.
Fish is found primarily in the Caspian Sea.
Oh, all right. The Caspian Sea.
Which?
Read about that.
Yeah. There you go.
Seen it in books. All right. And that's Talking Animals and Caviar. Rust, I'm glad you're back in the saddle again.
Yeah. In 2005, the U.S. made it illegal, apparently, to import beluga caviar and beluga sturgeon into the country because of the animal's endangered status.
See? Oh, okay. There you go. So that's why it's black. It's like a Cuban cigar. You can eat some beluga caviar and then go have yourself a Cuban cigar and just live on the edge.
Apparently, it has since been made legal again to buy it.
Okay.
Oh, so... Wait a minute.
I'll still just take a
You can't have it in the country, but you can buy it?
Like you.
That's like the steroids rules. It's like, it's illegal to buy steroids, but if you have them...
Mm-hmm. Not much we can do.
It's like, wait, when how'd you get it? Did the steroid fairy come and just drop it on your pillow at night?
Put it in my pillow. I left $300 into my pillow, and then magically...
The steroid fairy comes and drops it in your gym bag while you're lifting, getting gains.
Yeah, you leave a pouch of creatine and $300 under your pillow, and then the steroid fairy comes up.
Blesses, silly.
Blesses you with gains.
Blesses you with all the gains. All right.
May your gains be plenty.
Yeah, that's right. Brother!
All I'm thinking about is like the rock and like a tutu. What was that?
That'd be the tooth fairy. Yeah.
I'm picturing it's the same thing, but it's a steroid fairy. Now,
I do have to say, this one on the Vancouver text line. Yep. If you can still digest milk with no problem, then you still have a kid system, and sushi's probably not good for you. Ooh. Is that real? Is that a thing?
I don't know. I can still digest milk.
Yeah, I drink a lot of milk.
I don't go anywhere near milk, so...
Well, that's maybe why you're falling apart. That's what I learned in school is that you need to drink milk, brother.
Good for your bones.
Yeah, I love the fact that like big milk has distorted everybody under the like from the age of like 30 to 90.
Yeah, well, I don't care. I still love a nice tall glass of cold milk sometimes.
It's funny.
A lot of times
because it was all propaganda like to save the farms.
Don't get
like,
me started on chocolate milk
during the World Wars.
Chocolate milk is really good. Strawberry milk.
The Alpenrose Swiss Supreme.
I'll mess with some strawberry milk.
Isn't Alpenrose gone?
No. We get a delivery from them every Friday.
They closed down like
they closed
the
down that main.
Field.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought they sold the whole property.
The cycling area.
The velodrome.
We get the Alpenrose delivery every Friday morning.
You still do?
Yeah.
All right.
Milk, butter, half and half.
Explains why your kids look like the milkman.
It's only been a couple of years. We already had the kids.
All right. Likely story, Rust. Likely story. I've seen this play out before.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this play out before. All right. We got a big day. Dwayne Hankins, the president of business operations for the Portland Trailblazers. He is going to join us at 1:30 today.
Indeed.
Because we've got some big news for the Portland Trailblazers. We have Portland Diamond Project news. Two Monday Night Football games last night gave us two incredible performances in one.
Necessarily great games, but good games.
Two teams on their heels. Jeez. Well, the second one was a great game.
Yes.
The second one was a game. Fantastic football game. A little history made in that game. Actually, a lot of history made in that game when you look at how Jaden Daniels performed and both the offenses playing really stinking good. But where we got to start this bad boy off, the hometown team's back for everyone to see. What it means for Rip City now that the Blazers are on K2. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
We alluded to it at the end of the show yesterday, and you broke the news right at the end of the Monday night football game between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Washington Commanders. The Portland Trail Blazers are headed back to local television. Yes, everybody can watch. You won't get your price rates jacked up the day before the first game of the season. Everybody will be able to find the Portland Trail Blazers and access Portland Trail Blazers games locally for free, statewide, globally, at a very reasonable price. But I think this is massive news. This is probably, like, in recent memory, this is the best thing that has happened to the Portland Trailblazers since Dame waved off the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I mean, if you take basketball out of it, it's probably one of the best things that happened to the franchise in a very, very, very long time. I've worked closely with the Blazers front office over the last couple of months tracking this and kind of understanding what the process was. And the thing about this has been, and this has been true ever since I've known Dwayne, is that they've wanted to bring the game to the masses. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Even if you think the Trailblazers ownership is the worst ownership on the face of the planet and they don't care about you, from the most selfish standpoint imaginable, they don't want you to not have access to games because that lowers their bottom line. So for all of the talk about, well, they were just doing this for the money, and it's like, no, guys, they've always tried to get more people. For a fact, the Portland Trail Blazers, under Paul Allen's leadership, tried to do this 8 years ago. The NBA did not let them.
Why didn't the NBA let them? And why was the pivot point Phoenix in Utah?
So what ended up happening is, at that point in time, 2016, 2017, I think they tried again in 2019, the guaranteed money. So we got to remember, when you're talking about that money, that is not... that goes into the pool for the league, and that is divvied up among teams. So you've seen James Dolan recently kind of balk at the idea of the new media rights deal and how the pie is split, because he lives in New York and he sits on this tower and he has MSG and it pumps literally hundreds of millions of dollars into the league. And he thinks because he's in New York, he should get more. And it's like, just because where you're located, that's not how this works, dude. Sorry. You've been irrelevant for 25 years and suckled at that teat. You need to shut up and sit down.
And tell that to UCLA.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. You're not wrong. but the Lakers have, with Spectrum Sports, they have $160 million a year deal with Spectrum. $160 million a year, mm-hmm. which is only rivaled by the Dodgers deal, which is, I believe, like $200 million a year. Which is insane, but when you think about the inventory and how much money that Spectrum turns for those two products, there you go. But with that, the league said no because there's no guaranteed money. Like, let's put this in perspective. The Blazers had a deal with Root Sports that went on for it was supposed to go on another year. The Blazers are giving up money, a substantial amount of money, to get out of this deal early.
Like millions of dollars they're giving away.
Tens of millions.
Yes.
Tens of millions of dollars is going away, and they're just saying, wash our hands of it. We're going to move on because we want the product to be available.
It's better for business this way.
And if you want to take a look at the math behind it, is
it's better for business to eat tens of millions of dollars.
In the long run. Now, don't get it twisted. Up front, that's not a fun thing to do. And it was like, right. Oh, they're worth billions. Blah, blah. Look, you don't stay billionaires by just throwing millions away. That's not how this works. So, but when you take a look at how this, the math behind this is, if you get more people to be engaged in your community, that means your viewership goes up, even if you're a bad team. Okay. The Utah Jazz were a bad team and they had 150 or 180% growth with their over the air in their streaming package that they went to, which is substantial for Utah is very, very similar to Portland in that it's a small market that has a very, very dedicated fan base. So you could expect to see at least that, and the Blazers have estimated a 4x growth. Which
from last year? Yeah. Because everybody's like, the hell with this. Yeah. I'm not paying the platinum $36 Xfinity subscription just so I can watch the Blazers get their teeth kicked in.
In a bad picture.
Yeah, for 60 nights out of the year.
Hard pass. So, in that though, if you, again, this is the business side of it, right? If you get more viewership, now your ads are worth more. Ads are worth more, then you can sell more ads. And if you have the distribution, it kind of, one hand kind of washes the other. And if more people are interested, more people buy merch. More people buy merch, it grows. Like, it's just like this cyclical thing. It just kind of builds upon, it feeds upon itself, right? So, but it takes a while. And if you're the Trailblazers, you definitely don't want to be at this point where you are right now. Because think about this. Would you want to hit the market with, like, the Phoenix Suns fresh off an NBA Finals and go do this deal? Or would you rather be the Portland Trailblazers who are still trying to figure things out? So, like, they're not in this position where they have, like, all this forward momentum behind them, right? So what do you do? Well, you do as much fan service as you can do.
Yeah.
You make this as readily available as humanly possible. So they go with the over-the-air product, and they subsidize, or not subsidize, but they slide in also Blazer Vision, which allows you to have the streaming capacity. The difference between why it is available now and not then is the death of RSNs.
Yeah, the regional sports networks, which has been a big part in Major League Baseball, we've seen as Major League Baseball has had to absorb a lot of the television contracts and distribution for several teams. This does appear like it is the death of Root as well. We saw the Kraken leave Root earlier this summer. Now you have the Blazers have left Root to die, and they only have the Seattle Mariners now, which owns the network.
And they're going to end up eating that.
So, what does this distribution look like is the biggest question for everybody that's out there, because we know K2 locally, it will be widely distributed.
Yes.
Across the state, though, there are some limitations and there are some issues, like this text on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online, vancouverford.com. Is it correct we still won't have Blazer games for free in Bend or anywhere in Deschutes County? If so, that would be lame for all of Central Oregon. Yes, yeah. that is the case right now,
yes.
Because of the fact that over-the-air distribution in Central Oregon is difficult as it is.
You have geographical barriers. You have a mountain and you have high desert and you have a million other things that make it very difficult to get a signal to you. Now, the Trailblazers and KATU and Sinclair Broadcast Group are working all on alternatives. They are trying to get the signal strength up. They are looking at it a lot of different ways. Like, I would say that one of, if not their biggest focus as it pertains to the broadcast distribution, is trying to get that situation resolved as soon as possible. And we'll have Dwayne on at 1:30, and it's something we will ask him about, the free part of that. The offering there is that streaming is going to be the path for you right away.
Yeah.
And that's Blazer Vision.
But that is going to be, and we will ask Dwayne about this. I mean, this is kind of one of the big questions that I have is, all right, so what about the people that are not in the distribution network? What does that look like for the pay-per-view? How much does that cost? How much are you going to be having to fork over to watch every Blazer game if you're not in the over-the-air for free span? This is where they will be. Portland, Eugene, Medford, Yakima, Seattle. That is huge.
Yes.
I mean, that's massive for Portland to get that reach and how many people will be there. Obviously, there are issues with some of the coastal areas, but when you think of like Coos Bay, that will be reached by KVAL, mm-hmm. right, down in Eugene. You'll be able to get to the seaside with KATU. There's going to be this reach that is expansive, but Bend is an issue right now, and they're trying to fix it.
I think the coverage is like 96 or 97% right now.
Yeesh.
So, like, they did basically everything they could to get every last bit of the market in. And I tweeted it out this morning on the clarification, because I had Casey Hold on the pod last night back to the launch and mentioned that the broadcast will be in 1080. And it will be in 1080. They have to switch. And this is super technical stuff. They're switching some of the sticks over on October 22nd, which is the day before the season, so that the Portland area market will have an HD quality 1080p broadcast for games.
Rip City Television is a thing. Yep. It is there. We will have Rip City Television is going to be on what is it? What was it? KUNP?
Mm-hmm.
KUNP is going to be Rip City Television. So we have that to look forward to, which I'm assuming you'll have things like The Trail, which will be on there. Yep. Shoulder programming, yep. Pre, post game, television shows, all those sorts of things will be on KUNP.
So yeah, and then obviously you have Blazer Vision, which is going to be, all of your non-exclusive games. Which this year there's only one national game, and I don't believe any of the in-season tournaments are being picked up for national. So it's either 78 games or 78 games, or no, excuse me, 77 games, or it's 81. I'm not 100% certain. I need to read the fine print on the NBA TV blackouts.
All right, cool,
but
man.
The interesting thing about this, it's kind of a Mandela effect, is that when we're younger, we all kind of think of like KGW having like all of the games.
Hell yeah.
The most games they ever had in a season was 25. It's kind of crazy to think about.
It's a weird thing about it.
It's like we like, oh, they used to have all of the games. Like, no, they didn't.
Well, I remember that's what I thought it was cool when they moved to an RSN that was, originally with Root. Because I was like, oh my God, games. You get all of the games.
That was the point, is that you got to watch all of the games.
Yeah.
And now you're going to get almost every single game out of the chute. So, and they're going to work to improve the product, along the way. This is where we are today. It's good today. It will be better going forward.
Here's a text, Vancouver Ford text line. That doesn't sound like Portland's throwing away tens of millions of dollars. This sounds like a stock that they're buying low, an investment. Yeah, I mean, sure. But I think one of the criticisms, which you can follow up by the next text, is problem is the product and the owner trying to stuff down our team. Fans need to continue not to watch. Hashtag sell the team. There is this thought that Jody Allen is only about printing checks, making money. Vulcan doesn't care about the fans. They don't care about anything else. They don't care about the development of the roster. In back-to-back years, I think there are huge flaws in this ownership right now.
Sure.
In just the understanding the landscape of the NBA, their fan base, and that connection that Paul Allen had that they do not. But one thing that you cannot say is that it's all about just printing checks and printing money, because last year, with bringing in a G League team in the remix, that costs a lot of money to do.
Yeah, no, they lost. They lost, and they will continue to lose money on the remix.
This year, with this, it is literally tens of millions of dollars that you're not going to have this year. Now, to the buying low and investing in it, but you're in the short term and right now, if everybody's saying all they care about is printing checks and making money, there have been two moves in back-to-back years that are not money makers for them.
And well, while they continue to invest in the Moda Center, and they continue to invest in the roster and the scouting department, and it's like, look, you can have your complaints, but it's like a lot of you have just made up your minds and you're just thick-headed about stuff, and it's just like,
well,
just be open to the idea that not everything is either awesome or the worst thing on the planet. It's like, you don't have John J. Fisher as your owner. Okay? Just chill.
There will be an ownership change at some point.
Yeah,
you don't have John J. Fisher.
Guess what? And they might sell the team and you might get the David Tepper of the NBA. And then what? Oh, all your problems fixed? Everything's good? Everything's grand? Yeah. Hey, but they got a new owner, right? God, this stuff drives me crazy.
Another text on the Vancouver Ford text line. Who the broad tech cast team be? Nothing changes.
Nothing changes.
Still Lamar, Calabro, Brooke. You still have Michael Holton, Brooke Olsendam.
Neil Everett.
Doing pregame with Neil Everett as well. Blazer Broadcasting is its own entity. Mm-hmm. That makes this launch and this ramp up far easier for the Trailblazers to do than it was in Phoenix or in Utah, is that Blazers Broadcasting has always been owned and operated by the team itself, which is way different than I think there's one other team in the NBA that has that same relationship where they produce their own games as a team. So nothing will change from that standpoint and on that front. Yeah. So
no,
everything's status quo.
And if anything else, I think you could expect to see some stuff grow.
All right.
On that end. So,
okay.
I've been sitting on this for months, and it's one of those things where it's like, I'm glad this is finally out there, because I think this is genuinely one of the biggest wins for the franchise and for fans in a very, very, very long time. And in a season where they're probably going to win 22 games, it's just, it goes a lot better when...
Yeah, y'all can be informed and angry now.
Yes. You can watch your games.
You know? And that was the thing is, like, people would be so mad. They'd be like, I didn't watch because I don't have Root. But, let me tell you one thing. Now, you can say, I watched that hunk of crap, and let me tell you what my problem is.
Yeah, it's perfect.
All right, Dwayne Hankins will join us coming up at 1:30. He is the president of business operations for the Portland Trailblazers, and he will break down all the details. Hey, if you have any questions about it, just fire them off on the Vancouver Ford text line. Send them our way. No promises I will read your text to Dwayne, but
if you get a good one, we'll be there.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have questions as fans on something you want to know about this.
You have the opportunity to talk to the lead decision maker on the business side.
Let's go. Who is, I mean, he's a personable guy.
Dwayne is a great dude.
So we'll have Dwayne on coming up at 1:30. All right. We got that done. We got that out of the way.
You want to talk some football now?
We're on K2. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love that the Blazers are going to be back on local television. This is a huge story. This is very necessary. It is needed. There's the nuts and bolts. We're going to dive deeper with Dwayne an hour from now on all things Portland Trail Blazers, what this means for the fans, what it means moving forward for everybody that's out there. I think this is huge for the city, for the region. I think the Blazers, slam dunk, man.
Yep.
They did a great job with this. All right. We saw a rookie performance for the ages though last
night.
Yes,
we did.
I mean, good golly, Miss Molly, that Jaden Daniels can play some foosball. That, after Jeff Rust with the Bubble Gut Sports Center.
Second goal, they brought in an extra offensive lineman under center. Daniels got the snap, fakes right, throws left in the end zone. Caught, it's caught by a lineman in the end zone, and it's grabbed by Trent Scott. The backpedaling, thick six catch, a thick six. The lineman caught the touchdown pass. It was a yard away, and Washington goes up 27-13 early in the second half in Cincinnati.
Kevin Harlan on the call for Westwood One. I love Kevin Harlan.
Did you catch Jaden Daniels post game?
Yeah.
The what are you gonna do with the ball? He's like, I'm keeping that. It's my first one, man. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, hell yeah. Sorry, big fella.
Well, after a 21 of 23 for 254 yards and 2 touchdown performance, Jaden Daniels deserves that game ball.
Yeah,
he deserves all the game balls. That was a hell of a performance. And you know something about Jaden Daniels in this game, which I think we need to pump the brakes on this. He went 21 of 23, 254, and 2 touchdowns. Got a win, played well. You know how many passes were completed inside the hash? 0.
Wow.
You know how many attempts he had in the hashes? 0. Did not attempt a pass to the middle of the field. And, oh, by the way, 20 of his 23 attempts were to the right of the right hash mark. He picked the living dickens out of the Cincinnati Bengals last night.
Yeah.
Or, excuse me, 19 of 23 were outside the right hash.
I mean, it was a clinic.
Yep.
It was a clinic, and I mean, obviously, the bomb to McLaurin was Penix-esque of the way that thing went up into the clouds and just dropped down into his hands like it was just handed to him by angels. I mean, that deep ball was about as pure as it gets.
I am open to admitting this. After everything that went down at Arizona State with the way that he was kind of bad-mouthed on the way out by his teammates.
You were not a fan of him coming out.
I've never been more wrong about a guy as I was Jaden Daniels, because you heard horror stories of his parents going and demanding meetings with Herm Edwards, wanting to sit in on position group meetings at Arizona State. He transferred to LSU and his teammates went and raided his locker and posted a video on social media MFing him on the way out in the type of teammate that he was. He went to LSU and he has been completely different ever since.
He figured it out, man.
He did. And last night, I mean, 91% of his passes completed. That's a record.
Yeah, pretty good.
293 total yards, three total touchdowns, 2 of them through the air, 0 interceptions. And here's the thing that impressed me the most. Pro Football Focus does this thing called turnover-worthy passes.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah. Because you can get lucky sometimes. A ball can get batted in the air, or you throw behind a guy, or a wide receiver bails you out by, you know, a jump ball winning a ball. Like, there's more to it than just the completions. And, you know, I tell you what, Jaden Daniels is his option and play action fakes. He's God tier already. What he did to the Bengals in the red zone on that keeper on the option was filthy. The entire Bengals defense pinched down.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, I mean, how often, like, you see that in college. You do not see that in the NFL where everyone bites.
Yeah, I feel like the Bengals may have missed Sheldon Rankins and BJ Hill. Just a little bit. I mean, yowzes.
Yeah.
But it was, he was incredible last night. And he has been incredible to start this season. How about this, too? Last night, first game since 1940 when they started tracking all this stuff, that you had both teams, there were zero punts, zero turnovers in that game. The Bengals and the Commanders.
Wow. Because we're talking about Jaden Daniels right now, but Joe Burrow was incredible last night.
Found Jamar Chase again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was Cincinnati's defense kind of letting down an offensive performance that was good enough to win a football game.
That performance wins you probably 90% of games.
Jaden Daniels has started 3 games in his career. He now has 2 of those 3 are games where he scored on every drive excluding kneel down drives. 2 of his 3 starts, they have scored on every single drive, including when they only kicked field goals for an entire game. We can agree that the 4 greatest quarterbacks of like the 20th century, 21st century, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, according to CBS Sports, those 4 guys in 1,094 starts only have 2 games.
And he's got 2.
Where they scored on every drive excluding kneel downs.
have you seen?
It's crazy. It's pretty good college offense they're running.
Right. Oh God! Shout out to Commanders for going at Taylor Britt in the post and the social media. Have you seen Jaden Daniels' completion percentage through 3 games?
80%. Yeah. No other quarterback in the NFL is within 5 percentage points of that. Like,
and it's not like he's not throwing the ball. He's got 76. That's 25 plus attempts per game.
He's been really damn good. And 91% last night really helps that.
But still.
I want to give the guy his flowers because he is a rookie that does not look like it. And that final drive was a thing of beauty. He went 4 for 4 on that final drive. Converted a 4th down. Was perfect on 3rd down. In that drive as well.
4th and 9 and looking at your coach and going, no, let me do this. And then your coach trusting you to do it and you executing.
And just put the game on ice.
Crap.
It was a thing of beauty. Because this is the thing. We see quarterbacks and like we talk about the incremental gains that we saw from Caleb Williams and Bo Nix this past week. But that's like, hey, yeah, on 1st and 2nd down, they were pretty good. He was elite on 3rd and 4th down. And that is
that's what matters.
That's a big time quarterback. This is the National Football League where they went 5 of 9 on 3rd down yesterday. 5 of 9. They went 3 for 3 on 4th down.
On when it really matters.
So think about where they were critical down wise, 3rd and 4th down. They were 8 of 12 on critical downs.
That's crazy. And a guy in his 3rd start running a college offense.
Yeah, didn't punt. Funny you should say that because Cam Taylor-Britt, remember, we said this, we love our corners that just run their mouths.
Just chirping.
You know, C.J. Gardner-Johnson is one of those guys. Cam Taylor-Britt is that guy as well. And I say, give me more of it because I want these guys to have the inevitable crash down of eventually, right? We know it's going to happen. Well, happened last night, and his coach roasted him after the game. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. All right, the fallout of the Cincinnati Bengals' loss to the Washington Commanders is not just the panic button being mashed in Cincy. 0-3 to start the season. Joe Burrow looked pretty damn good, though.
Yeah, no, the demise of Joe Burrow has been greatly exaggerated.
And he was Ja'Marr Chase.
Really good. Yeah, and Ja'Marr warmed up and said, hey, by the way, I'm still one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, hands down.
Yep. Seven receivers had multiple catches for Joe Burrow last night.
Goodness.
Seems good.
Yeah, but defensively...
Yeah, they got problems. B.J. Hill, Sheldon Rankins, interior defensive lineman not playing. Obviously, that hurts.
And guess whose name you didn't hear all game except for once?
Cam Taylor-Britt?
Well, no. I'd say Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Heard his name. Yeah. Well, I heard him when he came out of the game.
Yeah, but he had the sack, and that was it.
Yeah.
Like, he's a guy who's probably one of the most unsung guys in the entire NFL, who, if you look at his production over the last 5 years, is one of the best pass rushers in football.
Yep. Well... Cam Taylor-Britt opened up his mouth. He said he wasn't afraid of Jaden Daniels. They run a nice little college offense there in Washington. And then they got torched where Washington did not punt the entire game.
Not a single time you got him off the field.
Yeah, went 3 for 3 on fourth down too, which means they scored every single drive. Every single drive. They got a little something-something on the board. After the game... Zach Taylor was asked about his cornerback's comments in back-to-back weeks. Remember, Xavier Worthy in week 2, week 3, it was college offense.
That's not what we do. That's not what we do. We praise our own team, praise the other team. We don't need to take shots like that. That team hasn't punted in 2 weeks. They've scored on every single possession the last 2 weeks. So I've got a tremendous amount of respect for what they're doing over there. I've known Cliff a long time. I knew paired with that quarterback, this was going to be a very dangerous offense to play against, and they've proven that. So,
in other words, shut up. Look, and to Cam Taylor-Britt's
credit,
that's
not what we do here. Yeah. You've done it in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah. And then, well, he couldn't tell him no after last week because Xavier Worthy didn't do a damn thing. Was it one catch for 12 yards?
Yeah,
including Cam Taylor-Britt breaking up one. So, he talk the talk and walk the walk last week. Now, the team didn't walk away with the win. You still can't kind of throw him under the bus in the postgame because he did what he was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. And had one of the more crazy catches that you will see.
Yes.
Any player, offensive or defensively. Yeah.
This week, when you get cooked, and he did get cooked, he was in coverage on that McLaurin touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
When the kid throws, the college offense throws a 50-yard bomb over your head on a straight go, you get to shut up and take it.
Yeah. Well, he did.
Double coverage.
He did. Now they're 0-3.
0-3, man. Mm. Boy.
That's not good.
I mean.
And I think if you look at.
Again, isn't the history is it's two teams? It's two teams that have gone 0-3 and made the playoffs.
I think they're one of them, though, right?
It's such an infinitesimal number. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. That is not good. The Bengals and the Jags have a very, very tough road to hoe because those were two teams that had aspirations for the playoffs.
I don't think we have to worry about Jacksonville making the playoffs.
No.
Only the 2018 Houston Texans have made the playoffs. After an 0-3 start. That's it. Like it is the
really? I've got 2, 4, 6 teams. I got the 81 Jets who went 0-3 and went 10-5-1. The 82 Buccaneers.
Maybe is that 16 game?
Yep. 92 Chargers, 95 Lions, 98 Bills. 2018 Texans.
I've got this. The one here says that more have made it after an 0-2 start, but the 0-3 start only the 2018 Houston Texans.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Hmm.
I don't know about that. Because I'm looking at the good news for the Bengals and Jaguars fans is yes. The bad news is there's only 6 teams to do it. Only 4 of 162 teams that have started 0-3 have done it since 1990. Only one team has done it since 2000. So I think that's maybe the qualifier
there.
Since 2000. And it was the 2018 Houston Texans.
It's basically
with Deshaun Watson.
It's basically the most indicative win-loss stat in the NFL. If you start at 0-3, you're screwed.
Not going to make the playoffs.
Look, if a team was going to do it, the Bengals have the mark of that because if you look at all those teams that did it, go look at the quarterbacks for them.
Yeah.
Like, you've got Joe Burrow and you've got Ja'Marr Chase, but this Bengals defense or this Bengals team.
Were the 98 Bills, was that Doug Flutie?
That's the Flutie, isn't it?
I believe so.
I think it is. While you're looking at that.
Or was it already Ryan Fitzpatrick? Oh,
no, Doug Flutie played for the 98 Bills as a backup to Rob Johnson and had a successful season, earning a Pro Bowl, an NFL Comeback Player of the Year.
No, there you go.
So he backed up Rob Johnson, then took over, and we got Flutie flakes out of it.
There you go.
Perfect.
So you had a miracle run.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about this this Bengals team
put in
is
Jake Browning.
Over the last couple years, they were one of the most balanced teams in football.
Yeah.
And that defense has lost some teeth.
Yeah.
That is, I think that's the problem now, is they whether it be injury or attrition through free agency, contracts, trades, whatever it is when you go up and down, they've lost just enough teeth and grit that, you know, they don't have the balanced play anymore.
Because the Brown family is still cheap. They paid Joe Burrow, but
and they refused.
That's it. Look at what Ja'Marr Chase is saying. He feels lied to. They've had guys, Joe Mixon leaves, right? The defense has been a revolving door because they're not paying those guys.
Yeah, they said, oh, look, we paid Joe. See, we care.
Just because you paid the quarterback doesn't mean you just stop paying everybody else. Like, you got to make a commitment to it. And that is that's a downside to having a cash poor owner.
Yeah.
And that's what they have. That's what they got there in Cincinnati. All right, let's get to Monday Night Football. The other game, that thing was over before it even started. Jeff has to step up to the plate, and he has to defend his Jacksonville Jaguars.
No, I didn't. I picked the Bills to cover.
1.5?
Five and a half.
5.5?
Yeah.
Well, they did it by 30.
Yeah.
we'll get to that game because Josh Allen is the best quarterback in the NFL through the first 3 weeks of the NFL season. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.